Blog Talk Radio.
Nobody stopping my side. They try to break me, try to pick me up, but I got Jesus on my side. So bad I thought it would die. But ain't no power stronger than the one who came and laid down his life. And I got multiple times. But the enemy can't stop me, cause there's a calling on my life. So when I'm crying, don't last too long. So he gon' step in and make it alright. Won't he do it? Said he would. Fight your battle for you, they gon' wonder how you sleep at night.
Satisfaction be in you whose grace has set us free.
Amen. What a wonderful day in the neighborhood. The neighborhood of believers. The neighborhood of our faith. What a great day it is. So grateful to be here this evening once again. Allotted another opportunity by our gracious and eternal Father. He's given us breath to just give praise to him today for all that he's done, seen and unseen. Seen and unseen. And we're just grateful to be here. Welcome to PGN, Prophetic Grace Network, the place where we not only talk about it, but we are about it. Thank God for our founders, Randy and Julie Chandler, our mother and father of the faith. And here we are. And we are known as TNT, and I'm one half of that T, Terrence, and my better half is...
I'm here. I'm Tanisha. I don't know about better.
But I see it, you bro.
So we are excited to be here. Today is June 22nd. It's 2022. It's a lot of twos. 6-2-22. 7:15 p.m. Central Standard Time. And like Terrence said, we're grateful for another opportunity to be here. If you hear yowling in the background, that's our cat who apparently wants to be part of the show too. But we're glad that you're here. Excited as always to hear what the Lord has to say. He's really been speaking. I know Randy's been talking this week about the financial systems and things like that. I haven't had a chance to listen in, but I'm going to binge listen to the show because I know it's some exciting stuff. God has really been confirming things with the body of Christ. He's really been confirming things that the prophets are saying. So if you have a prophetic gift and God is speaking to you, it's really important to put it out there, you know, no matter how crazy you think it sounds, because it's not your words, it's God's words. And what God will do is he confirms it. And when you give a prophet, our cat just tried to jump on the ledge and didn't make it. But when God gives you a prophetic word and you speak it, and then he later confirms it, it helps to build faith. It helps to build faith in God. It helps to build faith in the gift of prophecy. So it's very important that if you have that gift, you use it. And that takes me to the scripture that I'm about to read that I got right before we came on, which is in Romans 12. And let's start with verse 6. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to use them accordingly. If someone has the gift of prophecy, let him speak a new message from God to his people in proportion to the faith possessed. If service, in the act of serving, or he who teaches, in the act of teaching, or he who encourages, in the act of encouragement, he who gives with generosity, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy and caring for others with cheerfulness. And then verse 9 says, love is to be sincere and active, the real thing without guile and hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. Hate what is evil, detest all ungodliness, do not tolerate wickedness, hold on tightly to what is good. And I really think that especially verse 9 is so necessary for us to follow, especially in the times that we're in today. Let's listen again what the word says. This is in the Amplified. Love is to be sincere and active, the real thing, without guile and hypocrisy. Hate what is evil. Detest all ungodliness. Do not tolerate wickedness. Hold on tightly to what is good. I want to read that in another version. Let's read it in the King James Version, since that's my sweetheart's favorite.
Yes, yeah, there's one word I gotta highlight.
It says, let love be without dissimulation. Mm-hmm. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good.
Mm-hmm.
And so one might say, well, what determines what is good and what determines what is evil? What God says, God is the author of all things, except for confusion. And so if he is the creator, then he determines. Because we're living in a society now that's trying to twist things. Even now out here in the DFW area, the DFW makes up like a lot of cities in Texas. So they call it the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. So there's like a whole bunch of cities that's considered part of that. So one of the cities out here, Forney, has announced, well, they released their new dress code for the upcoming school year. And in the dress code, they're not allowing any hooded wear, so no sweaters, jackets, pullovers, anything that has a hood. And they're not allowing any skirts, dresses, or skorts for any students above the fourth grade.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're saying the reason is because they're wanting to train the children in professionalism, but we all know that that's not really what's going on. You know, if we look at the agendas of the world, they're really trying to erase the female and things that are attributed to females to make things neutral,
mm-hmm.
trying to neutralize people. And so it's crazy how they want to say people have the right or the choice, but yet they want to take away rights and choices. And so we have to be mindful and know what's going on, what we're seeing, because a lot of people are going along with it. I heard a person say that they were a progressive Christian the other week. And I'm like, what is that? You know, I'd never heard that term before, but apparently it's Christians who go along with the time. And I'm like, that doesn't seem to line up when God, there's no gray. It's like kind of like a Christianity in a gray zone. When God is black or white, God is either for me or against me. You either love the world and hate me or love me and hate the world. There's no gray areas. And I think where a lot of Christians are falling short, a lot of believers, is they don't know how to respond to what all is going on in the world and the agendas without coming off as being hateful, or they don't want to be labeled as, you know, homophobic or whatever phobic. Because everything, whenever you don't go along with the world, it's some sort of phobic, except for Christianity. You never hear them say, oh, you're a Christian phobic. That's not vocabulary that's used. It's only when it's things that are against God that they put the phobic term in it to try to bully you into conforming. And we as a body, we have to abhor the things that are evil. You know, people participate in evil things. We don't hate the people. So you never hate the people. You don't condemn people. Even Jesus said he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. And so you have to find that balance, because even let's go back to what the scripture says about love, right? Let's go back there. It says love is to be sincere and active. Now, the Amplified, for those who don't know, breaks down what the meaning and the context of the words when it translated, because some words can't be translated word for word. There's other meaning, or it gives more context or definition to how that word can be interpreted, which is why it's my favorite version of the Word of God. So again, let's read it. Love is to be sincere and active. So if a person is claiming to love and they're going along with false agendas for fear of being labeled or bullied, that's not sincere. Okay, that means that it's not even love. Because if the word is telling us love is to be sincere and active, then if it's not sincere, then it's not truly love. Let's continue. The real thing without guile and hypocrisy. Okay, so to guile, right, is to like, it's trickery. Let's look up the word, because some people don't know what the word guile means. They maybe not even heard of the word guile. So let's look it up so we can have understanding of what the Word of God is saying. So guile definition. We're going to take that from my favorite, Merriam-Webster. So guile means deceitful or cunning, duplicity, right? So if we go to, because somebody might say, well, I don't know what that means. Let's go to the synonyms, right? Craft, craftiness, cunning, deviousness, slickness, slyness, sneakiness. So to have guile is there's some trickery and hypocrisy. We all know what that means, right? To be saying one thing and doing another thing, right? So then it says, hate what is evil. Detest all ungodliness. Do not tolerate wickedness, right? Because we're living in a world that likes to toss that word around, like passing out Halloween candy, that you need to be tolerant. That's what the world is telling you. But we're in it, not of it. We're not regulated by the world's teachings and their ways. We have understanding of it, but we are not under it. A good example of that, let's pause it here, but let's give a good example, because some people might say they don't know how to navigate, right? They don't know how to navigate in the world because they're dealing with the world every day, right? You don't wake up on Mars ever. You're here. and all these issues are going on and you're surrounded by different types of people with different faith backgrounds, beliefs, how do you navigate without coming off as disrespectful, rude, or hateful? So let's look at when Daniel, Meshach, and Abednego were first brought into Babylon, right? So if you know the story of it, Babylon was captured, and Nebuchadnezzar was the king. And so they took some of the best of the people. And so Daniel and his friends were part of the best. So they trained them up in their customs and their ways and that kind of thing. They preserved them. And so Daniel and them were now in the Babylonian world. Their customs, they were not in their own land anymore. Now they're part of their land, and there was an expectation for them to follow their customs. So there comes a time when they're fed, where they're given food to eat that was considered delicacy, right? It was meat that was slaughtered and fed the king's enemies' entrails and stuff. It was just completely against their customs. So they politely asked if they could not eat that and eat only vegetables and water, and that if after so many days they were found to be sick or wasting away, that they would then conform and eat their food. And so, of course, with God's grace, they were able to continue eating the diet that didn't go against God's customs, God's ways, and yet they were still part of this Babylonian system. And while they were in the Babylonian system, they were not disrespectful of God's customs and God's kingdom over their life, but yet here they were in the Babylonian system and they found favor. Daniel ended up being an advisor to the king, and we all know that when they were trying to get trickery going on to get him killed and try to have everybody bow down to the king's golden image, it came out that they weren't, and God preserved them. So this was an example of them not saying, oh, that's gross, that's disgusting, I'm not eating that meat, and anybody who eats that meat is doomed to hell and clearly ungodly. They didn't do that. They simply gave, said, that's against our customs, but so can we do this? You know, you have to find a way to be in this world and take a stand and say, that's not what I believe, without condemning other people's choices. You didn't see them trying to stop nobody else from eating the meat. They simply said they couldn't partake of the meat and offered a solution. And so you have to learn how to navigate and how to take a stand, because let's go back. We bookmarked it, right? Let's go back. Detest all ungodliness. Do not tolerate wickedness. Hold on tightly to what is good. That whole tolerant world that the word that the world is trying to toss around, you're not to be tolerant. You're not to tolerate wickedness. You're not to tolerate it. And you have to understand what it means to really love people and what it means to tolerate, mm-hmm. and to stand back and to just go with it and say to each his own. That is not a godly mentality. Especially when somebody's coming to you and they're having expectations of you to partake in certain activities that go against what God has called you to do or go against God's ways. You don't have to be rude, mean. You don't have to be disrespectful. You don't have to be condemning. You don't have to throw a Bible in the back of nobody's head. You just simply say, that's not my beliefs. I can't partake in that. And you offer a solution. And that's why it's so important for us to be utilizing wisdom. If you don't have wisdom, you better be asking for it. Because you're not going to be able to stand firm without wisdom. Because we're watching right before us. This world is going to turn into a one-world government. It's going to happen. And they're going to try to get people to take certain allegiances and say certain things or renounce things in order to continue with the lifestyle that they were accustomed to. To say, yeah, you want money? Well, you got to take this mark of the beast or renounce Christ or whatever they're going to tell you to do. It's the very opposite of being in the world but not of it. They're going to want you to make a proclamation that you are in it and of it. And if you don't have practice now and how to navigate through that, then you might fall victim to that. It's all fun and games until you don't have no internet, because you think they're going to let us still have the internet? They absolutely are not. It's all fun and games when your refrigerator is empty and you can't go to the store no more, because that time will come where they're going to control that, the food. We can even see now what's going on. They have all these stories about how, like today we read a story, Terrence and I, about how mustard is about to be in short supply because something's going on with the seeds, right? You people might say, who cares? I use one bottle of mustard every 10 years. But it's not about what you use. It's about a conditioning of things being in short supply. And there and people are saying that the food cost for upkeep of animals for slaughter has gone up, so the price of meat is going to go through the roof. And they're saying all these different things that's going to contribute towards what I foresee as a food shortage. So then it's going to be to where they're going to want to start rationing out food. Because remember, the Antichrist, when he comes onto the scene, he's not coming with a pitchfork and horns. He's coming as a man with solutions and a man that's going to unify things. So in order to have unity, you must first have no unity. In order to bring peace, you must have chaos. Things in disarray, things amok, things amiss. And so we're seeing the beginning phases of what's going to come. High gas prices, food, the interest rates are through the roof, all kinds of stuff. And I'm not telling you these things so that you can have cause for concern, because that's world problems. We make ourselves aware so that we know that God's word is true and we know how to navigate through things and we can use it to minister the love of God and the protection of God to people. But we're not affected by that in the way that the world is affected by it. Of course, if there's a hurricane, your house is going to get wet, just like an unbeliever's house is going to get wet, but your house might be protected and theirs might blow off into the storm. So you're still going to be affected by it. You're still paying $7 or $6 a gallon at the pump, just like an unbeliever is. So not to say that you're not affected in any way by it, but you're protected. There's a difference between being affected and being protected. Because you're affected when you can't afford to get the gas, and you're protected when, even though the gas is higher, you still can buy it. But you need to be made aware of what's going on, and you need to be knowing how to navigate through it with wisdom. Don't just put your hands over your ears and say, la, 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 la. Like, don't do that. Because some people don't want to know what's going on. They want to live in this bubble where things are just great. But you need to know what's going on in the world. And you need to know how to navigate through this world without conforming and without having the tolerance. Because the word tells us to hate what is evil, to test all ungodliness, do not tolerate wickedness. A lot of you are tolerating wickedness on a daily basis and don't even realize it from what you're listening to, right? That's a tolerance. Let's look at the word tolerate. And then we're going to move on. Tolerate definition. To allow to be or to be done without prohibition, hindrance, or contradiction. To put up with prohibition. There we go. That's a word that you don't really hear too much except for when they were banning the alcohol. But okay, so let me read that again because I messed that all the way up. To allow to be or to be done without prohibition, hindrance, or contradiction, to put up with, to endure. Okay? So you putting up with something if you tolerate it, or you're allowing it to be done. Prohibition is like you stopping something. So you're not even trying to stop it. You ain't even trying to hinder it. You ain't even trying to contradict it. You know how many believers, I was getting my hair done, what was that, last week in the shop, and a lady was talking about a singer who sings the gospel, who's also, or she came from being an exotic dancer, and the woman went on to say she doesn't see anything wrong with Christians twerking and pastors getting drunk at the club on Saturday, with their congregation and then preaching the word on Sunday, because she was like, I mean, that's not stopping you from preaching the word. Preaching the word is preaching the word, singing is singing. Like, you should be able to do what you want to do and this, that, and the other. Well, there's a fine line between, you know, legalism and tolerance. And I don't believe in people being legalistic, but that's tolerance. That's putting up with that. So, yeah, people make mistakes. People get to bad situations, or they come from bad situations, and there's no condemnation there ever, right? Because there's no condemnation in Christ. But there's still standards. The world has their loosey-goosey standards, and the word has its standards. And we can't just tolerate everything. You can't just eat everything given to you. And that's what a lot of believers even do. Tolerating it and what you watch and what you're allowing your eye gaze. Because when you're in something and you keep seeing it and you keep being surrounded by it, you start to, at first you'd be like, ooh, that's not cool, right? First, and then the more you're in it, then the more you start to tolerate it. Just like that whole frog in the pan theory. You start to tolerate it the more you're in it. And a lot of people are tolerating evil and don't even realize it. They're tolerating wickedness because they're so conditioned to it now, it doesn't raise the hairs on the back of your neck anymore. Somebody could just drop it like it's hot right in front of you, and you just be like, okay, you know, like you're just tolerant of it. So you just put up with it. And we're not to do that. Because our King James says, you should abhor what is evil. And nobody's clutching their pearls. Nobody's gasping. Nobody's trying to contradict it, which means it's to have a difference of it. To say, no, we should do this instead, or no, that's not okay, this is what we should be doing. Not even just letting it flow and under the cloak of to each his own, which that phrase annoys my soul with believers. It's like instead of doing what you're called to do, they just allow things to just flow and do whatever under the tagline of to each his own, which is in a sense true. People have free will to do what they want to do. But we don't just tolerate things and say, well, to each his own, and just don't do nothing. You don't just put up with it. Because that's not really what to each his own. If you're just putting up with it, not making no effort, ain't doing jack diddly squat, ain't praying, ain't saying nothing, just letting it roll and saying to each his own. No, that's tolerance. You could try to change the wording, but it still has the same meaning. You just took tolerance and slapped the title to each his own on it, but it's still tolerance. So let's operate in wisdom. Let's pray and ask God, how do we navigate in this world without conforming to the world? How do we stand firm to our beliefs and God, your standards, without offending people, right? Because we don't try to offend. Sometimes offense is just going to happen, period. But we never try to offend. But you can't operate in fear of somebody calling you a name. Who cares what they call you? Those words mean absolutely nothing. Because the words that do mean something to me is that at the end of this life, on this side of eternity, hearing, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's the words that I'm concerned about. I'm not concerned about nobody's words here on this side of eternity. People that I won't stand in front of in judgment when I die. People who have no power over me to make nor break me. People who have not empowered me with the Holy Spirit and died on nobody's cross for my sins. So we got to get out of that caring about, they cut me intolerant. So who cares? Just because they called you it don't make it true. If I called you Sally and your name is Bob, does that mean that now all of a sudden you Sally? I got it wrong and you say, I don't know who you're talking to, but that's not right. You would tell me I got it wrong. But yet when other people are calling us names that we know ain't true, we don't want to say that's wrong. We want to cry in the corner. Let's not do that anymore. Let's be concerned about what God has to say about things and God's words. That's the word that we should be concerning ourselves with. Let's pray and then let's start answering calls. Unless my sweetheart has something to chime in.
Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this night. Father God, we thank you for your word. Father God, we thank you for this moment, opportunity to share and to hear from you, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that we are prepared to receive that you have for us, and that what is said will take root in us, Father God, and will grow, Lord, to help propel us to fulfill our destinies and our purposes that you've given us here in the earth. Continue to lead us to live compassionate lives, Father God. Continue to lead us to live loving lives, mm-hmm. unconditional loving lives, and to be able to stand out and stand up for all that you gave your life for here in this earth, Father God. Teach us how to walk in wisdom. Give us the knowledge. Give us the understanding, Father God. Reveal your secrets to us, Lord, and teach us how to navigate during this time in which we live in now. For this day, Father God, give us a voice to be heard.
Yeah.
Give us a voice that will capture the ears of today. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Father God, allow our language, Father God, to be understood. Allow our motives, Father God, to not be misunderstood, but received. But receive, Father God, so that in the end, you get all glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And so, Lord, we decrease now. We decrease as you increase, and we make ourselves willing vessels, Father God, to be used to amplify your word,
mm-hmm.
to amplify your word to your people. We thank you for life that you've given us, and we thank you for life more abundantly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's start taking some callers. That was a great prayer.
Great word.
Thank you.
Of course, I could have kept going, but you know.
Yeah.
Because the Lord said he wants us to pray.
All right. First caller here is 828-989. Who are we speaking to?
This is Jennifer from North Carolina.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hey, Jennifer. How are you tonight?
Hey. I'm doing well.
That's good. Romans 12:2 for you. I just looked over and looked at it. He looks to her. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, the will of God is important. The will of God is important in us. In order for us to flow with the will of God, we have to be transformed and renewed in our minds. And this is a daily walk. It's a daily challenge. And it's a process because as we continue to nurture our faith and nurture our walk and our belief in the Lord Jesus, we grow. And there are times in our lives where, Ms. Nisha was talking about this the other week, about where we will see things one way at one point in time in our walk, okay? And we will have an understanding of it based on where we are in our walk. But as we continue to walk, God will continue to reveal more. He will continue to give us more revelation, and we grow. And it's not that you were just like dead wrong about it, you know, or anything. It's just about getting more information. It's mm-hmm. about God revealing things. And he reveals it in his time for you and for all of us. And so being renewed and not worrying about the way that the world is changing, just focus on how you're going to change the world. Because as you change, the world around you changes. Because you begin to produce and put things back into this world that's needed to draw people to Christ. Because at the end of the day, it's about God's will being done. God's will. Read it again. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's good and it's acceptable and it's perfect. It comes unflawed. It's not flawed. God's will is not flawed whatsoever. Period. There are no flaws in the Lord. We are flawed individuals as human beings in the flesh. You know, we err every day. That's why we need him. That's why the world needs him. You know, and so when we begin to see things through the eyes of Christ, we begin to have compassion. We can definitely hate the sin, but love the brother. We can hate the discord that sin brings, but love the brother. You know, and that's the walk, and that's the renewing of the mind. That's the transformation that goes on, because you be able to identify and separate the two. A lot, and early on in my walk, I couldn't separate the two. No, it was you, and I would be at you too. But God began to deal with me in my heart, you know, because when I look at myself in the mirror, I see flaws. I see myself in my life, I see flaws, and it which lets me know how much I need the Lord. So if I need him, and I still need him right now, everybody does. And so that same compassion, that same love that Jesus has for us, that's what we have to have for one another. But first and foremost, you better have it for yourself, you know, because we can really beat ourselves up with always really trying to walk this perfect walk, you know. And what we really need is just to be consistent and continue to have faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need to be consistent in. With having faith in God and knowing that he's there, because it's the reason why he's given us grace. Not to be abusing our grace, but to understand why grace is needed and why it will be with us all the days of our life. And so we just thank God for that, for you, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you right now for Jennifer. We thank you for the right to change your mind. So many people, like, they get stuck because, as people, we're made up of, right? We're dirt and sin, first and foremost. We live in a body. We're spirits that live in a body, and people identify us by visual, like how we look. They recognize us by our beliefs. That's how you get to know a person. You know their hopes, dreams, their thoughts. It all ties to the mind, except for the visual. Everything is connected to the mind. How you move, right? Some people walk a certain way, but all that is connected to your brain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even how you enunciate, pronounce your words, all connect to the brain. So everything goes through the mind. And so sometimes, because people identify us and recognize us a certain way, it's hard for us to change our mind about things, because we feel like we're not being true to who we are, or that people are going to say we changed or switched up, which is okay. Because as we grow as people, we do need to be changing, because people operate based on the information and the knowledge that they have, right? If you knew that doing certain things was not going to produce the result that you were looking for, you didn't know that, you wouldn't keep doing that. But once you gain the knowledge of it, you change your mind, and now you no longer do that, you pursue something else. Everything's connected to the mind. And I see you changing your mind about things, which is the same like renewing your mind. You're changing your mind because God's going to give you more information. So now you're not filling in the blank, because that's what people tend to do. We tend to fill in the blank. Terrence and I went to a get-together on Father's Day, and there was a woman there, and she was lamenting about a woman that she was friends with, and the woman that she's friends with has jealousy issues, and she was pouring into her and letting her know that there's room for all of us at the table. You don't have to be jealous of me. And she was getting frustrated because she couldn't understand why this woman was still operating in that way. And I had to let her know, because she's not receiving what you're saying. Because you could tell when a person has gained more knowledge, because, and they accept that knowledge and they believe that knowledge, because their actions start to change. They start to change. And so if a person, you're telling them something and yet the actions remain, it's because in their mind they have not accepted what you're saying. Because as you gain knowledge, you change as a person. But people try to keep you the same, and then they try to name call you, to try to thinking that that's going to put you back in your box. Oh, you're switching up, or you think you're better, this and that. And it's not that you're switching up or you think you're better. You're doing what people do. People change. If people stayed in their same box, Paul would have stayed Saul, going around killing Christians. He believed that he was doing a good work. He believed that that belief system, as he thought it was fake and false. But once he got the revelation that it was real and that Jesus was real, he changed his mind. And so his actions followed suit. Mm-hmm. He then believed in Jesus Christ. And so he started to follow Jesus Christ. And so everything about him changed. Paul was not some shabby unknown. You know, he was like high ranking amongst the Pharisees. He was that guy. And so imagine being that guy and you're condemning a whole belief. And then not only do you change your mind, but now you're like a leader in that same belief that you were condemning. That has to be sometimes difficult to navigate, but we never see him really talking about that because he didn't care, obviously. And so I see God changing your mind about things, your mind literally changing. And it's not like little subtle things, but it's going to be some big things. You know, like, I don't know. I don't have examples, but I'm just going to give an example of my life. Like, I like meat. I don't eat meat because God told me that it hinders my prophetic gift. That's the only reason why I don't eat meat. I'm not a meat hater. I'm not, like, going to throw paint on somebody's steak dinner. Like, I like meat, but I don't eat it. I changed my mind, and I believed what God told me. And so people who have known me for a lot of my life seen me go from eating meat and enjoying a good steak and loving chicken fried, grilled, however you want to make it, to not eating it. I mean, I could be starving. You put it in my face, I'm not going to eat it because I changed my mind on my view of it, not for everybody else, but my view on it for me, because it's important for me to be used to full capacity. I don't want to be prophesying at 10%. I want to be prophesying at 100%. And so I changed my mind. And so some people, oh, you switched up, now you're vegan. No, I'm not vegan. I eat cheese and all that other stuff. I just don't eat meat. But I don't care what people think or what people have thought, because I did what I needed to do. And so that's what I see with you. You're going to change your mind about things. And some people are going to not like it. Some people don't like change. And sometimes it makes them start to question their own self, like, well, Jennifer changing, why I'm not changing? You know, so they project, try to make you feel bad about your changes because they see they're not changing, they're stagnant. But you don't concern yourself with that, because the changes that you're going to do mentally are going to cause your actions to be positive. They're going to have positive results, because where the mind goes, the body follows. Lord, we just thank you for Jennifer. We thank you for the changing of her mind, for showing her things in different light, for giving her understanding of things. She has some wisdom and the knowledge about things, but there's some things that she needs to understand. Mm-hmm. And so we thank you that that understanding is going to cause a shift in thinking, and that the shift in thinking is going to cause a change in action for the positive, for the betterment of her and the things that are important to her, and for the expansion of the kingdom. And Lord, we just thank you that she's not concerned about what people have to say about the changes that she makes, that these are for her benefit and for your glory. So we thank you for it. Let it all be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Wow, thank you. That really spoke to my spirit. Wow.
You're welcome. What's been going on? Do you have anything in particular you want to pray about?
No, actually. I mean, I just feel like you guys just, I mean, I've been feeling very unsettled today. Just, I don't know what's causing it. I'm just very unsettled. And, yeah, but I just, like, your words tonight just, I don't know. It caused that unsettledness to just, I don't have the word for it. But it just spoke. It spoke very loudly to my spirit. Mm-hmm. Very loudly.
Amen. Thank God. To God be glory. Yes. Amen. It's nothing
but
God.
Other than that, life is good. Life is good.
Yeah.
Amen.
You go through those transitions, and that's what I'm sensing with you. You're just going through a transition. And and we have human emotions, you know, that tie in to our transitions as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because when Jesus walked, he felt everything from the human perspective as well as the spirit. And so when he took it to the cross, the feelings that you're feeling right now, that's why we can take everything to him, because he understands it fully.
Yeah.
You know, and when we center it around him, when we center the answers, when we center the solution around him being the solution to everything, we always win. You're never going to come up short in any area of your life, because God, if it wants the glory, his will be done.
Mm-hmm.
And we just thank God for that, because a lot of the time, sometimes it be attacks of the enemy. And sometimes it's God allowing you to go through that so you can get to that next place you need to be in, because he's always preparing us for what's to come. He's always
right.
preparing us for what's to come. I remember when I first went into the military and going through training, they didn't care nothing about how you felt. But every part of that training was preparing us for what's to come. You know, every run, why we got to run so much? Why we got to do so many push-ups? Why we got to get up early? Why we got to do so many sit-ups? You know, why we eat 3 meals a day? I can't have no snacks in between. Why they got me drinking all this water? Because they are preparing me for what's to come. You know, preparing me for battle. So that when it came down to it, I could run distances if I needed to. I could walk a long distance if I needed to. I could go a long period of time without eating if I needed to. I can get up early and not be worried about sleep and not being tired and exhausted if I needed to. That's what I was being prepared for. And so it's the same thing in our spiritual walks. We're preparing for war. It's a war out here, period. I remember the old statement, you snooze, and you lose. That's true. That's true. You know, the Lord never sleeps or slumbers. losing is not part of his makeup, period. And so thank God. Thank God for where you are right now. Because when you change your perspective on where you are, how you're feeling and how you're seeing things and all these emotions, Lord, I thank you for this transition. I thank you for the renewing of my mind. I thank you for where you're taking me. I thank you for what you're building me into.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got to go through to get to. Go through and
right.
go through with grace. You know, sometimes we be going through attitude adjustments. God is checking how you're really going to respond to discomfort or unforeseen or things where you feel like you're kind of out of control and you don't really know. You know, how are you going to respond? You know what? I'm just going to give it to you, Lord. Here you go. You teach me how I need to respond.
Right.
And keep moving. Keep waking up. Keep waking up. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, amen. Lots of transitions going on now. So.
Yeah.
Changes.
Absolutely. You got anything you want us to pray for in particular before we move on?
No, I think I really was ministered to tonight, and I just think I'll just let you get on to your next caller so everyone has a chance to be blessed.
Amen. Amen. We thank you for
appreciate
calling.
You. Thank you.
God bless you.
How many do you have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
So
what
we got 30 minutes, so it's like,
we just keep marching. Okay. Let's go to the next one. 502-548, who are we speaking to?
Well, this is Greg from Kentucky.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, Greg. How are you tonight?
What's up? How you guys been? I missed you all.
Yeah, we missed you.
Yeah, buddy. Me too. I'm working on mine a little bit, but it's still, it is what it is.
Wow, let's pray.
Mm.
Oh, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for our brother Greg tonight, Father God. We just thank you for the refreshing. I see just like God really quenching. I just took a sip of my water, and God said he's quenching your thirst as well. You know, like you're not having to thirst for anymore in any area. You know, your thirst is being quenched.
Mm.
From area, like all of your desires, you know, in areas where it seems like they were dry or what have you, the water is quenching it, is giving it life. Because everything needs water, man. Everything needs water. You look at our bodies are made up of 70% water. Come on. Look at the earth. The earth is 70% water. Come on. Everything needs the water. The water. And you know, I just see God really, really quenching your thirst to where you have a thirst again. Your desires are being fulfilled, and which is like giving you like a charge, like a like when your battery's low and you go put it on charger, and now they got these speed chargers where they charge up quickly. So that they can run, so that they can perform at its maximum capacity. And God is preparing you for a high performance. You know, these vehicles, they need gas to quench that dry tank so that they can perform. You can go the distance. You can ride a while. And so I see God positioning you so you could just go the extra mile that you need to go. Because that's needed for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's needed for you. Like, you need to know that. You need to see that. You need to experience that. And you want that. Like, what you want for you, God wants for you as well.
Mm-hmm.
He put it in you. And so we just trust God tonight, and we connect with you that every area of life is quenched. Every area of your life is secure. I see security,
yeah,
along with it. Being protected, your money being protected, your health being protected, your family being protected, your possessions are being protected and covered. Yeah, friends, businesses, opportunities. Just, man, just whatever, even your organized chaos is being protected. Don't nobody come mess with it. Because God didn't want you to get flustered during this time.
Mm-hmm.
And distracted, because the enemy wants to, like, he wants to distract you and to kind of tick you off. Because like with me, like I'm a very simple guy, and I really focus on the little things. And the things that I do focus on, other people don't consider it, you know, they don't look at it like it's just nothing. Like, what you focus on that for? But that means something to me. That means something to me. And so you're always caring for the needs of others. You're always going the extra mile for others and compromising for others. But God is revealing to those around you, and he's preparing and training those and positioning those around you to begin to care about what Greg cares about too, to pay that attention to that, because those things can kind of throw you off if they're not done. Then God is also conditioning you to not allow that those things that you care about to even like be that important anymore. It's like the less you begin to not even focus on it, it's gonna come into play. You're gonna start seeing it being done. Those little things, because they're high priority. As you begin to like, okay, I ain't gonna focus on it too much. You're gonna start seeing those little things becoming priorities in others' lives around you. And
amen.
There it is. I feel like it's like a you truly releasing it,
mm-hmm.
and you're just giving it to God fully,
yeah.
fully, because you take what others say into consideration so high, and you want that in return. Like, why is it so hard for you to give me the little things that I'm talking about, but here I am, I'm really compromising over here on my end. And as a human being, and it flows naturally for you because you can naturally do that, but you're still human. And there are moments where you'd be like, well, dog, man. I mean, at least one time out of the year, could you? One time out of the next decade, would you? You know, but God is minimizing that because he's adjusting your focus now to that's quenching the thirst, the way he's adjusting your focus to not even make that a major priority anymore. And by you not making it a major priority, God knows that it's a major priority to you. So he's going to do the change. He's going to do the changing, and everything is going to get done. D-O-N-E.
Man.
Done.
Wow. Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's what I got for you, babe. That's what I got.
Yeah, what I got, some very similar, there being a shift, and you really operating and understanding the swapping of the heavy burden for the light yoke. To where it's just like not even a thought to just something comes up like, oh, let me give this to the Lord. Where you're not stressing it. It's not keeping you up at night. You're not trying to figure it out. Where you're like, oh, let me just give this to the Lord. It's like a shift to where you're going to do that like out of habit. You're going to habitually give things over to the Lord. Because like Taryn said, you know, when we have things, of course, everybody has a priority system and things that are top priority to them. That's just human nature because we're dealing with a lot of different things. And so things have a place. But sometimes when things are top priority, we give it too much energy because it's top priority.
Yeah.
But because of this shift, like Taryn said, it's not that you don't care about it. It's just that you're giving it to the Lord. Like, this is very important to me, and it's important that this gets taken care of. So, Lord, whose hand to better leave it in than yours?
Mm-hmm.
And because you're showing God, I trust you with something that is very important to me, he's going to take care of it. And people are going to be like, man, Greg, you be, you know, just taking care of things, and things are always handled. And you're like, the only thing I do is just give it to the Lord. It's not me, per se, that's doing it. I'm doing it through Christ. Because I can do all things with Christ. So it's not me. I have to learn that I'm holding on too tight to it. Because that's what we do. People tend to do before they find that balance. They will hold on too tight to things and suffocate them. They will hold on too tight to things and damage them. You know, think about if you have a flower. You know, you can pick a flower and you can hold it in your hand and it could be great. Or you can, if you squeeze that thing, you're going to destroy it. You're going to kill it, the flower. And that's anything in life. If we hold on too tight to things, we will damage and destroy them. But people tend to do that because it's so important to them. But God's going to teach you how to, those things that are super important to where you're like, here, Lord, I give it to you. I give it to you to take care of. I trust you. I trust that whatever moves I need to make, you're going to tell me to make moves. Because sometimes when we take a hands-off approach to things that are very important, we feel like we're driving a car and our hands are off the wheel. And our foot's off. No, it's like on no pedal. Not on no gas, brake, nothing, car just gone. We're like, okay, I see a wall in front of me. So I'm just going to crash into it, or, and then the Lord says, okay, now touch the brake at this point, and you do, and then everything's good. And that's kind of how it feels. You know, it's a trusting. And so when we show the Lord that we really trust him, he takes care of the things that we give to him. You know, even people do that. When we know that people trust us, we really try to maintain that trust, especially for somebody that we love and care about. We want to keep that trust intact. So we do our part to ensure that the trust is left intact, because people like to be trusted, and the Lord likes to be trusted too. And so when you just shift it on over to him and say, you know what, this is heavy, this is weighing heavy on me because it's so important, so now I'm being consumed by it, now it's taking up my time, Lord, I'm just going to give it to you to deal with, and I trust that you're going to handle it. I trust that whatever I need to do, you're going to let me know what I need to do, when I need to do it. I trust that, because I'm just spinning my wheels going nowhere fast, and I could be using that energy on something productive. Because that's people getting that caught up in that too, where they're putting all this time and mental energy into something, and that'll exhaust you. Mental energy is real. It will make your whole physical body tired, where you don't even want to go out that night. Maybe you're supposed to have dinner plans with friends, and you're like, oh, no, I'm too tired because, you know, I just had a rough day, a long day, because you've been using all this mental energy trying to figure something out, and now you've missed an opportunity to hang out with friends, and maybe God's going to use you to minister to them. So we'll put all this energy into something, wear ourselves out, and it's energy that we could be using towards something productive. And so God's going to teach you. It's going to literally be like clockwork for you. Bam, bam, bam. Like you feel it. Like you know when something's weighing heavily on you. You could be looking totally normal to everybody else. You say have the same smile. You say hi. You have the same conversation. You'll pray from whatever. But you know when something's weighing heavy on you, even if nobody else notices. And it's going to become a habit for you to where when you feel that little bit of weight, where you're like, uh-uh, Lord, here you go. Time to exchange. I need that light. I need the light. I'm going to give you this heavy because I feel that weight. Feel it weighing in on me. I'm going to give it to you. I trust you, and you're going to speak to me and tell me what I need to do. I'm going to have a feeling or whatever, however I feel you. I trust that. So here you go, because I'm not going to have this weighing in on me, because it does make a difference. That spiritual weight is real. Spiritual weight is real. You know, Terrence and I like to watch that show, 600 Pound Life, and it gives us understanding of people in different situations, because some situations in life will never be in. But me personally, I like to understand the human experience. And the commonality that we find in when we watch this show and people start to give their backstory is they have spiritual heaviness. There was a divorce that somebody never got over. There was a rape. There's always some sort of trauma that weighed spiritually on them that then translated over into the physical, because it does. It always translates over into the physical. But that's always what we see in those, in every single case. There's some sort of trauma that they could pinpoint that started the path that they were on that got them to this place. So that spiritual heaviness, it's not just making you feel bad or nothing. It will weigh on you, and it will cause damage, and it will cause bad decisions, and it will cause all sorts of things. So it's so important for us when we feel that to give it to the Lord. And so many believers don't. Some people don't understand why they can't lose weight. Well, because you're always stressed out, your cortisol levels are high, or you're not giving this person. And so it's all sorts of things. It's always something that goes back into something spiritual.
Yeah.
They're trying to diet and this, that, and the other. No, because you're always stressed. It's your cortisol level. It's not your diet. You probably don't even eat that. You know, it's something spiritual that you need to give to the Lord. So it's important for us to exchange when things are heavy, because it will show, it will manifest in other areas of our lives. And if we don't have the wisdom and knowledge of what's going on, we'll be trying to fight the symptom and not the cause. And so God's teaching you, he's going to teach you how to do that, where it's just, it's like I said, like clockwork. Like, oh, it's heavy. Here you go. and teaching others how to do that. Because people hear scripture, but they don't know how to put it into action. They don't know what that means. Like, what does it mean to exchange? What does that mean? Yeah. You know, and where you'll be able to tell them and give examples of, well, this is going on and this is what I did to practically serve people. Because people need that. They read the word. They don't know how to apply it. They want to. They don't know how. They don't know what it really means to do it. They don't know what it means to walk the word. They get excited. They hoop and holler like, yay, oh, yeah, I can do all things Christ who strengthens me. Then something small happens and they're falling apart at the seams. You're like,
yep.
Wait a minute. You were just excited and said I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What happened? And they're like, I don't know how to utilize that. But part of it is that exchange. So, Lord, we just thank you for Greg. We thank you for the shift and the habit of once he feels that spiritual weight to exchange it. And we thank you, Lord, for the protection of finances, where finances are not going to be like a problem ever, where health, walking in divine health, walking in confidence, making confident decisions, not like, oh, I hope this is the right decision, but if it's not, it's all going to work out for good. But no, like saying, no, this is what we're doing, and I'm confident in this. I'm confident. So we thank you, Lord, for the spiritual confidence. To where he leads with confidence, because people see that. They see confidence, and it gives people peace when somebody is confident about the way they're leading them, confident about the things that they're instructing them to do. There's confidence not only helps us, but it helps the people that are assigned to us. So we thank you, Lord, for the confidence boost, not in and of himself, but because of you, because he serves you. So it's really the confidence is in you, and it will translate over to other people that he's confident in his decisions. And when they say, man, you're so confident, how? Because I trust Christ. It's not me. If it were me, we'd all be just lost. But it's Christ. I trust him. I trust that I hear him. I know him. I know his voice. So I'm confident. So we thank you for it all, Lord Jesus, and in your precious name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Man, y'all are on fire tonight. She's so on point. And I'm serious. Like, a lot of that stuff that you just spoke, I mean, it's already happening. I mean, it's like the beginning parts of that. The God teaching me to give stuff over to him is just, I mean, that's really been going on for just a little bit. But, you were 100% on point. But I just...
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. I love you guys. I miss you for sure. And I know your next question is there anything you want me to pray for? I'm like, I want to give time to others because I know time is short and you guys killed it, crushed it. So absolutely love you guys and God bless you.
Man, God bless you.
God bless you. Love you too.
We love you, brother.
Look forward to talking to you again.
Absolutely. Same here. Wow.
Awesome, awesome. Like Randy would say, awesome blossom. It always cracks me up when he says that. I don't know why. Next caller here is 251-342.
Won't he do it?
Yes, he will.
And he would.
Come on.
This is Latrice from Alabama.
Amen, amen. How you doing?
It is well in spite of. It is well.
It is well. It is well. Let's pray. Let's pray. But God wanted me to remind you of something tonight, Latrice. Matthew 22, verse 32. I'm going to read King James. He says, I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. So just because you don't see it doesn't mean you see it. The unseen is alive. It's alive. It's alive. It's alive. And so God is saying tonight to you, Latrice, as a reminder that everything that he's spoken to you, and that everything that he's spoken to you and that you have received It's living, because it's a living word, you know. And just because you don't see it, like forming, doesn't mean that it's dead or has been forgotten, you know. Abraham walked this earth many, many moons ago, but he's still alive. Isaac walked the road a long time ago, still alive. Jacob, same thing, still alive, because God is the God of the living and not the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so the seeds that you plant from this day forward, the seeds that you plant from this day forward, even when you transition, you don't have to worry, because it's a living, it's alive, it's a living word. It will continue to go on. It will continue to produce, because the gospel of Jesus Christ still is being preached.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not only being preached, it's still producing. People are still being saved. People are still being delivered to this day, because it's a living word. God is alive. The God we serve is alive. And he's the God of the living. So you don't have to, you know, worry about, like, people. You don't have to worry about whether they get it or whether they don't, you know, did they or this, that, and other. Just trust God. Just trust God, because the promises that God gave Abraham when he told him, I'm going to make you father of many nations, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's not here to see it. But the word was true. Here we are. Here we are.
Yes, Lord.
Here we are. And so the slump that the enemy tries to, you know, bring on you when is it going to happen, or try to get in your mind and be like, you know, I ain't got much time. You know.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's about the purpose being fulfilled in the time that we have. Fulfilling God's purpose and doing God's will with the time that he's given you is more important than we focusing on the time that we think we have, because we have time. The time we spend in trying to figure out how much time is the time we could be using doing something that God wants us to get done. And so we come against Satan wasting your time anymore with wandering thoughts. In Jesus' name, we break that right now.
Hallelujah.
We break that right now. Ain't no more tormenting. No more tormenting. No more anxiety, rapid heartbeats, and fluttering. No more of that. No more headaches in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Because God is the God of the living. You are alive. And you shall live on. The body goes. That's it. But we are not the shell that we are in. We are not this shell at all. We are who God called us to be. And he knew us even before we were formed in our mother's womb. We were alive before we got here.
Mm-hmm.
Period. The world wants to wrap us up in death and all of that. It's transition for us. Yeah, this body dies, but we ain't this. We're not this. You got friends that have gone on before you, family members that have gone on before you, but yet still things that they've said still living in you right now.
Mm-hmm.
Things our mothers and fathers have taught us that are no longer here, still living in us right now. Period. And so we just thank God for that revelation and that reminder, the reminding. And just letting you know that he basically, he got you back.
Mm-hmm.
Period. He got you back. Just keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. And truly let go and let God, literally. Let go and allow God to be who he is and accept God's will. Accept God's will. In Jesus' name. That's what I got.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you right now for we thank you, Father God, for the revelatory knowledge. Like Terrence was saying about being the God of the living. One thing that helps me cope and why I think I did not lose it when my mother passed is because I know she's alive. You know, people, we tend to, I don't know why we tend to put life with earth when the word says he knew us before we formed us, which means, like Terrence said, we were alive before we came here into the earth. So I don't know why we try to limit life and being alive to earth. We come here on assignment. Doesn't make us alive just because we're here. People who are not here are still alive. They're just not in this anymore. It's like going, I remember back in the days before I had a car, I would have to travel certain places, and sometimes I would start off on the bus and then end up on the trolley and then back on another bus. So there was different methods and modes of transportation to get me to where I needed to go. And it's kind of like while we're on earth, we're on the trolley or we're on the bus, but then when that ride is over, there's something else. But we don't stop because we're not on the bus or the trolley anymore. No, we still continue our trip. And that's how it is with life. Like, the time on earth is just, it's a pass-through. Like the word says, it's a vapor, it's a smoke. It's here, it's gone. And it's like, that's it. We're here to learn, do God's work, and then we go about our business in eternity. And that's it. But it's like God's going to really give you that revelation about life. That's something that people have been searching for since the beginning of time. You'll hear people say, what is the meaning of life? You know, when you study philosophers and all that kind of stuff, they're trying to get this thing figured out. And God's really going to give you to understand that it's not hard. You know, we make it difficult. We make it hard. We try to come up with all these theories and all this other kind of stuff. And it's simple. But part of the reason why God is going to really give you that revelation about life is for your own comfort and for you to be a comfort to others. Because some people get stuck. You know, a loved one will go on and be with the Lord and they will be so stuck because it's like they believe, but yet they take it on the mentality of the world. We don't grieve like them. We know a believer that went on to be with the Lord, we rejoice. We should be grieving for ourselves, not them, because we're still stuck here, you know, with all the, you know, things that come along with being in the earth, and they're free from all that now. So God's really going to give you that revelation so that you can really minister powerful words to people about life and living and about death even, and what it means. What does that mean when a person, what we call death and dying, what does that mean? You know, and so we can have a different perspective of it so that we're not losing it and falling. Understand what it really, really means. And God is also going to really show you, like Terrence said, that he has your back, that like to where there's going to be a boldness that comes on you like you've never had before. And I suspect that you're already a bold person, but there's going to be a new boldness, like new oil on you, like fresh, like I see fresh anointing, fresh, to where you're just super bold. You say your proclamations. You say what needs to be said. No fear of, backlash or what are you going to say? And I'm like, nah, this is, I'm going to tell you what you need to hear. I'm going to tell you what the Lord is telling me to say, period. And I'm not concerning myself with how people take it or whatever. I'm just saying what needs to be said. It's just a boldness to say what needs to be said. Mm-hmm. for people's edification, for people to be set free, for people to come out of bad mental mindsets, for people to have hope, for people to be inspired, for people to start to question their own beliefs, to break down walls and to build up walls. Like it has so many purposes for you to be bold in the things that God is telling you to say. Not one thing that will happen. It can produce many results, but the results that are needed for each individual person, because we serve a personal Jesus that meets individual needs and collective needs. So, Lord, we just thank you for Latrice. We thank you for the revelation of life and living. We thank you for the boldness. We thank you for the fresh oil. Thank you for the newness and just the boldness. And we thank you that she will really, really have that revelation of how much you protect her, of the protection that you have on her. So we thank you for that. It be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And I'm going to talk really fast. I had to mute myself. I just had this experience yesterday with a lady in a nursing home while I was doing a preceptorship. And Terrence, as far as Matthew 22:32, you left off a part. Says that I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Latrice Wilson Ward. God was not the God of the living, but the God of the dead, but of the living.
Right.
I told a young man today and yesterday, that it brought that some people trust in the chariots, some in horses, but I will trust in a true and living God. And then it says that I will remember the name of the Lord and trust in him, because he stepped out of eternity into time for me for such a time as this. I got to go because I'm about to preach up in here. Thank you, God. Speed to you. I am reminded of what he said, and I do thank you. Amen. Good night.
Amen. Good night, Latrice. Wow. Wow.
Oh, my. Oh, my. We're going to have to do a collective.
Yeah, because it's 8:30, so we got to clear it off. But let's just pray over. We got... Well, there's still a lot of people. Yeah, let's do a collective prayer and wrap it on up. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus for another night to come before your throne, Lord Jesus. We are so grateful because we know that you are a God who meets needs. And we thank you, Lord, that you're meeting the needs even right now of all of your people that are desperate to hear your voice, that are crying out to you, that are seeking you. We know that they will find and that they have already received what they needed to receive tonight. Lord, just let us have the confidence and boldness to know that you are a God who answers prayers. You are a God who guides. You are a loving God. You are a God who orders steps.
Yes.
So we really don't have any concern. Concern and worries are really are just made up things in our mind. All we got to do is trust you.
Yes.
All we got to do is put the word to work, because your word is true. People lie. You don't. You love us. And Lord, let everybody at the sound of my voice walk in divine health. I speak against sickness and illness and dis-ease. And I speak divine health into your body. I speak financial fitness in your life.
Yes.
There's more to obtaining wealth, because as quickly as you obtain wealth, you can lose it. I speak financial fitness and wisdom in finances, so that when you obtain your wealth, you know how to maintain it as well. And let us walk in financial fitness and divine wealth, Father God. Let us mend relationships that need to be mended, and let us walk away from relationships that no longer serve us and that are not of you, that are sucking the life out of us and that are not producing any good. Let us have the boldness to walk away from those relationships, and let us always seek your face and seek your will. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen. We love you all. Until next time, call back in. 8:45, hit 1, get in the queue. Randy will pray for you. We love you all. Good night.
Love you. Lord, we need you.